Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 19th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Wanted to give a preview real quick of some exciting things happening in the Motor Vitality world, just to stay tuned for. Actually, really excited about this. We have separated the MV marketplace. No changes. You won't notice anything yet, but we have separated MV marketplace from Motor Vitality. So divisions of the same company, but we are expanding the MV marketplace pretty significantly. In fact, I'm in Michigan right now shopping for warehouses. And additionally, coming soon, launched hopefully by January 2023, will be a on-site training facility for service and installation technicians. So some pretty exciting things happening in the Motor Vitality world. And stay tuned, because we're hoping to really bring some solid benefit to the industry. With that, I would like to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions you might have, anything we can help you with.
Kelly, I have something besides our topic today.
All right, Jen, go.
Yesterday, I was in the office, and there was a couple that came in, and they were putting down their deposit. I was in the office with the sales team that I'm working with right now, and a couple came in to put a deposit down. And one of the things that they asked for, they actually asked for a lot of things, but one of the things that they asked for was references. They've been doing their homework for a little while now, and you know, not sure if they wanted to pay the money on water treatment. Luckily, they spoke very highly of the sales professional that visited them. But they wanted references. So that's something to keep in mind. I know, Kelly, you always had that book. I think, Stacy, you mentioned, too, where people write down references. I mean, I guess it was kind of a Google review before Google was a thing. And, yes, there's the Google reviews. But try to always have on hand some sort of referrals or references that they can call up. And that's something that can always be mentioned in the follow-up, but it's good to have those on hand.
So let me just expand on that a little bit, Jen, because you're absolutely right. So I had a book that on the front of the book, it says, it was just a binder, a three-ring binder, and it said, the bitterness of poor quality lasts far longer than the sweetness of low price. That was what was on the front of the book. And so what I would do in my sales presentation is I would, you know, after I was done with the presentation, I would say something like, you know, I've been talking for the last hour about how great the company is and how great I am and everything else. And it's easy for me to say that because, of course, I work here and I sell this stuff. I'm going to clean up a little bit here, but while I am, I wanted to just show you what some of the customers, some of your neighbors are saying. And I was able to do that because I worked so tightly within my sales territory. So, you know, I generated a lot of business. I had a lot of relationships. So I had a lot of the names that were in there were known within the community. They were neighbors. So I would hand that book to them and let them flip through that book while I was kind of cleaning up, and it was great. I could hear them go, oh, Fred Dillingham put something in. Oh, Mike Brown put something in, you know, and I could watch their excitement, you know, about the product and the recognition of people that they knew, you know, that added a lot of credibility. That was all before Google reviews. You're absolutely right. And I think that Google reviews nowadays, are critical. I think it's really important to ask for them. You know, that's how I filled that book with letters. As I asked people to write letters, I asked that when I did the follow-up, there was a section on the bottom of my follow-up form that had comments, and I would ask them to write comments, and I would make copies of those and put them in the book. And sometimes it was just service is great, installer was awesome, you know, anything like that. It might have just been one or two sentences, but I photocopied every single one of those and put them in the book. That's what Google reviews do now too. You can let people know just, you know, a sentence or two to say how we did. Obviously, we could have an entire conversation on reviews and the importance of it and how to respond and things like that. But that is really critical in today's world that, you know, people will go in and do a review a lot of times unsolicited when they're upset by something. I think that's normal. In fact, when I'm looking for a product or a service, I almost always look for the negative reviews to see what people have had concerns with. And it never really bothers me when there's a few negative reviews for a company, especially if the company responded in a professional way. So I think that's really important too, is to make sure that if you get a review like that, you're actually responding in a professional way, not blaming the customer, not, you know, and if there really was a mistake, take responsibility. I think most people understand that you cannot please everybody. There are those people out there that are just going to be unhappy, you know? So no, that's an excellent, Jen. Excellent. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, something else to add to that and you're right, this could be a whole, because this is actually one of the topics I had considered talking about, but is the Google reviews and the Yelp and things like that. But to take it one step further, when you're looking at those negative reviews, or when you're really any of the people that are commenting or putting the reviews in, I take it one step further, and you can look at their profile, and it will tell you how many reviews they've done and how many negative reviews there are. It tells you how many stars they have given different businesses. If there's somebody that has 20 reviews and every single one of them are one star, then that's just somebody who's just
yes,
miserable.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
I see it so many times. But then if you have, and this happened with me, I will so many times, just because Google pops it up on my phone, I will, you know, you visited here, will you leave a review? And I'll leave just a two-sentence review and five stars if I really like the place, four or five stars. And if I didn't, then I don't leave anything. But there was a time that there was a hotel my daughter stayed in and there were bed bugs. And the way that they handled it was very poorly. And I told them, listen, you know, I'm willing to leave you a one-star review. And he says, don't worry, I already looked at your profile. I see you only leave good reviews. And I said, well, then you know somebody would take me seriously if I left a one-star review. I take that into consideration. So,
there's that mom voice again.
There was my mom voice.
Don't mess with me. Stacey, could we hear the growl? This is a conversation we were having before we came online, Stacey and Jen. Stacey apparently has a growling mom voice.
It's the demon mom.
The demon mom.
Demon mom. So,
goodness.
Anybody else
have anything to add? Or all right.
So, Jen, what was our topic today?
Our topic today is educating the consumer, not necessarily our customer, not necessarily our, you know, the potential customer, but just educating the consumer. Basically, anybody that needs water treatment, and we all know that's basically everybody. You can run into consumers anywhere. So I want to start this off with a question. I was having some work done to my house and found out that there was some air quality issues. And I was told that I have to put a doohickey near my furnace.
A doohickey?
I don't know. A doohickey. I don't know what a doohickey is. Can anybody explain to me what a doohickey is? Like, is it big? Is it small? Does it go, like, right on the furnace? Does it, like, go in a different room?
It sounds like a made-up word.
It is a southern word for when you don't know what something's really called.
So I was going to say it's an early spring teenage makeout session.
It's
an early spring morning. It's in the morning.
My mom used the word doohickey all the time.
Yes. But how do you know what it is? How do you explain it? When we are talking to people about butter treatment, sometimes we might as well be using the word doohickey. Because when we talk about a water softener, an iron filter, a reverse osmosis, especially when you start getting to like talking about the RO, people who are not in the industry or have never dealt with this with water treatment, they have no idea what we're talking about. So it is so important that we're educating. And whether we're educating a potential customer or we're educating just somebody we run into in the grocery store, it's really important. So here's kind of where this stemmed was over the past couple of weeks, I've been running into people. I've had instances where I talk my water treatment talk because that's pretty much what I live. And it started out when I went into, we have a store that we get my office building. I go up to this water shop and I fill up our 5-gallon jugs because the water at the office is pretty gross. And no, the property manager will not buy water treatment no matter how much I've asked them. But anyways, so I fill up these jugs and there was somebody that came in and they have off kind of in a separate room. Well, first they have in a separate room, they have a water softener. They have some other contraption. I honestly don't know what it is. It's kind of like it's water conditioner, I guess you could say. The reason I don't know what it is because it didn't have any labels on it and the girl at the front desk had no idea. And then they had a reverse osmosis. And so they asked, why is this water different? What I'm getting filled up with my 5 water jugs than what I have at home. And she didn't know. And then they said, well, you know, yeah, my water is pretty gross. They started talking about what it tasted like, what it looked like, stuff like that. And she didn't know. So I stood there and I explained to them what a water softener was, what a reverse osmosis was. And they looked at me and they said, you know what? I've been looking at my water for 5 years. I've lived here for 5 years. And I've actually had some people come out and talk to me and tell me what I needed, but they never explained what it was and how it worked. And she says, you just told me in 3 minutes more than anybody else has in 5 years. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what a disservice. These people that have come into her home and they don't explain the equipment to her, that's really kind of sad and frustrating. She says, I never bought it because I didn't know what it did other than it was going to go into my utility closet. So, you know, and then we ran a sales appointment. Marco and I ran a sales appointment. And there was a young man, he was a third grader, he made sure to tell us that, and he was very interested in what we were doing, and he's watching Marco test the water. So we started explaining to him, you know, we're testing for hardness. It was kind of interesting when he says, well, what do I do about, like, when I turn on the faucet in my bedroom or in my bathroom, he says, the water's really, like, it hurts my skin. The water pressure, the water is so hard. He was talking about the water pressure. And so when we said hard water, that was the first thing he thought of. So I said, I can fix that for you. And we ended up going upstairs and we tested his water for him, which was, of course, the same as where it was coming in at. And I told him, I'm like, okay, just don't turn on the faucet all the way. Just turn it on a tad. And he was just, like, tickled. So, you know, is he going to be the consumer? No. But his mom is. Not yet. And but his parents are. So we took that extra step to explain hardness to him. At the same time, mom's in the background, talked about the hydrologic cycle. That's something we should be explaining to the customer anyways. And then reverse osmosis, the same thing. She had so many questions, but her main concern was the drinking water. So explaining how reverse osmosis works as opposed to just the carbon filter in the refrigerator under the sink. You know, because if you look at a reverse osmosis, it just looks like a series of filters. They don't know what is in there and what those filters do. So it's so important, again, just anybody you run into that, you know, I talk to people in the grocery line where they have like a lot of bottled water. You know, Costco is the best one. And I'll say, oh my goodness, that's a lot of water. Do you have an event coming up? No, we just don't drink our water. And I'll straight out, have you heard of reverse osmosis? You can have it right at the kitchen sink. And they listen. Maria, I don't know if I think Maria's on the call. There's a tool that you use that I absolutely love that very few people use when you're talking about reverse osmosis. What is that tool that you use?
The micron chart?
Yes. The particle size chart. And literature. You bring out literature, because I couldn't tell you how many times I've been in a home with a sales professional and they just tell them, oh, no, we're just going to put something over in that corner and it's going to, it's going to take care of your water. Okay, you know, but how big is it? You know, those are the questions. They shouldn't have to ask those questions. We should be giving that information out so they can ask other questions. And, you know, like once we start talking about, well, the size is going to be here and here and here, where do you think this would fit? Then they can start asking more questions about the equipment. What are other things?
Can I add a couple things to that? Okay.
Yes,
I want to talk about the kind of the other side of that issue, because this is something that I've run into. And when you go all the way back to the way a lot of people, especially people that came into the industry a while ago, but even some now, they learn that big 3-hour long sales presentation, you know, and I can tell you a lot of those companies or the salespeople that learn that scripted presentation, they don't know any more about the equipment than the homeowner does. They learn the script, but they don't really understand how the stuff is working. That's the presentation that I learned when I came in the industry. I learned that way before I ever actually went out and did an actual sale. And I started several of my presentations doing that. And even now, 24 years later, when I do a sales presentation, I have to check myself, because some customers start to glaze over. You know, they mm-hmm. are tapping their feet and they can't wait for you to leave. So I agree with everything that you said, except that I think that we, in addition to that, I mean, I agree with everything, no exceptions. I think, though, that we have to add the importance of, this is all question-based selling. You have to ask the questions to your customer to find out what level of information they want to have. So now I frequently in my presence, you know, when somebody will ask me a question, you know, what is hardness? Well, there's a quick answer. It's dissolved rock in the water. And then there's a complicated answer, you know, where you have the hydrologic cycle, water goes up into the atmosphere, combines with, you know, carbon dioxide, forms carbonic acid, comes down, hits the ground, you know, you've got calcium bicarbonate, magnesium bicarbonate, you know, there's the long chemical answer, right? And it may be, you have to determine, you have to several times ask the customer, how much do you want to know? How detailed do you want to know? Or, you know, because there are an awful lot of customers that don't care. They just want a system mm-hmm. that's going to work. They want to know what color it is. They want to know how big it is. They want to know how much water it's going to use, maybe those types of things. So frequently, not just once, but frequently. And this happens a lot with new people, although it happens a lot with me too, because I get really excited about understanding this stuff, and I start breaking into these long-winded explanations, and I have to temper it down sometimes, because there's an awful lot of people who just don't want to know. But, you know, so we have to check that. We have to double check and make sure. And that comes with questions. That comes with when they ask a question, each time they ask a question, you've got to determine whether they want the short answer or the long answer or somewhere in between. You know, what question are they really asking with it? And that I think is really important. I think there's a danger in giving too much or not giving enough information, but I also think there's a danger in giving too much information and, you know, in losing a customer that way as well. So
right.
That's
right.
The only thing I wanted to add to it is just we have to gauge what they, you know, what they're looking, what they need, what they are wanting out of it.
Right. And, you know, that's where, you know, just doing, for example, the customer I was talking to at the, or the consumer that I was talking to at the water store is, you know, I went over to the water softener they had and I said, inside here is the resin beads. I explained the water softening 101. I said, but if you're on Waterford water, then there's also a lot of chlorine in there. And there are some units that either have a carbon filter before and it removes such and such, or it's, you know, included in here, it's a stacked unit. And so I did the quick 101, the very basic. And I figure if they want to ask more questions, now one of the questions they asked is, what if I don't like soft water? Can I turn off just if on the stacked unit? They said, can I turn off just the water softener part? You know, that was a really good question.
Yeah.
So I explain that to them and how the tank on the inside works, you know, got more into the specifics. So once they came back with, but be prepared, which is the very almost elevator pitch on how your equipment works, you know, very short description. One other thing that Breon brought up to me that he's been running into quite a bit lately is he's running into a lot of homeowners that bought their house 5-8 years ago. They had an iron filter and then they had a water softener. And they were never told that they needed to put salt in the brine tank. So here they've had this water softener, and I know I used to run into that a lot also, you know, especially during a home transfer or something like that. And so that's something educating the consumer again, probably the best place to start with that. And I know there are some like online places you can go to get lists of people that are just getting ready to move, like house sales or whatever, but talking to your realtors and educating your realtors, that's huge because they're the first ones to talk to people about, you know, people are walking by and, or they even see on the Zillow ad that there's a water softener or the realtor ad that there's a water softener and they're just like, what is that? You know? So realtors very easily can say, oh, there's a water softener. You have to make sure you put salt in it. You know?
Well, that's an opportunity for service contracts too, you know, to get in there and to make sure that you're reminding them. You know, it's funny. I laugh when you said they've had a softener for 7 years, but I got to tell you, I'm embarrassed to say this, but when I built my house, I'd never lived in a new home before. I'd never been a homeowner before ever when I built my house. And so I didn't change my furnace filters for the first couple of years. I didn't clean out my septic tank. You know, it was like there were things that the house itself, those things, they probably came with the manual somewhere, but I never saw it. I read the manuals that I had. I read my, you know, all my appliance manuals and the manuals that I had, I read them because I wanted to know, but I didn't know. And there was this little switch on my furnace where one of the kids went down and bumped it. And that was a $75 education because my furnace wasn't working. The guy came out, $75 trip charge, flipped that little switch back on, turned the furnace back on. I never even knew it existed there. Nobody ever told me that was there or what it was for. So you're right. You know, I laughed when you think because I'm in the water treatment industry. Duh, you got to put salt in your softener. But no, of course they don't know. If they've never had one before, of course they don't know. We have to educate them. That's exactly your point, I think.
Yeah, I was talking on a I was on a sales point with another sales pro, and they kept mentioning the iron filter because they had ferric iron, and somebody literally asked. So the iron filter, is that similar to my furnace filter? And it was it was a good question. It was a very good question because they weren't familiar with water treatment. You know, they moved into this house, they had a softener, but they still had iron staining. You know, why isn't the water softener working? And, you know, people that lived there before just lived with it because they were on well water, and that's what well water does, you know. So, you know, educating in the home, especially when you do the follow-up, make sure you're walking through with the homeowner and saying, okay, well, this is where, you know, if the power goes out for a long time and the battery backup isn't working, then, you know, or your time goes off, or if the power goes out for a long time, come downstairs and make sure that you check the time on this, or make sure you're putting salt in, leave it at this level, use less soap. You know, all those things have a little bit of a checklist, and usually, like, we have it on the follow-up form. When we go back for the follow-up, these are little reminders. Do you know the warranty? Do you know how to bypass it if for some reason there's a leak? Do you know how to bypass it? All of those different things? It's so important that we let our customers know. But, you know, again, just educating the consumers. We've got like 2-3 minutes. How does anybody else educate consumers? Doesn't even have to necessarily be your customers, or it can be your customers. Anybody? So everybody.
Yeah. No, I'm here. It's Maria. So a lot of it has, I agree with everything you're saying, but it has a lot to do with listening and communication. When you come in and you start talking to the customer, you find out what their interests are. You know, you need to read the signal. You know, if they do not understand, you see the deer in headlights look. You know, if they're getting bored, you see that as well. It has to do with communicating. You need, because again, every customer I go into, I don't go into everything. I let the customer lead me where he wants me to go. It has a lot to do with communication and just listening and hearing what they're saying.
And that definitely comes.
You've said it many times. It's their story, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
One of the first things I ask is, what issues are you having, or what concerns are you having with your water?
Yes.
And they'll start just spilling everything.
I think that question
is... with questions for them.
Yeah.
To dive deeper into it.
Yep.
And I think that is one of the most important questions, because I've heard very often when we go in, they'll say, are you noticing any staining or issues? Instead of saying, what is your concern? They'll give them concerns, you know. Yeah. And the answer, no, I haven't noticed any staining. Okay, well, then they don't really have the opportunity to say, my main concern is the drinking water. So I love the way that you word that, Stacy. Yes, what are your concerns?
I like to ask, what are your highest priorities? You know, water goes on you, the water goes in you. You can expand on that. Yes. That tells you the direction, too. So, Jen, nicely done on topic today.
Thanks.
So, all right, everybody, that brings us right to the top of the hour, though. It is 9 o'clock Eastern, so thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks.